السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربي زدنا علما. اللهم فقهنا في الدين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we're going to cover آيات 44 to 49 of سورة النساء today. We'll begin with the word meanings first, inshallah. Starting with ayah number 44 of Surah Nisa. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alam. A means did. A is a prefix that is used to ask a question. And lam means not. So alam, did not, tara, you see. Ra'a is the root word which means to look at, to see. Da in the beginning means you. So, tara, you see, ila, towards, alladhina, those who, udu, they were given. This is in the passive tense. So, and we know this is plural because it ends in vowel alif. So, udu, they were given, nasiban. Nasib means a share or a portion. Min, from, al-kitabi, the book. Yashtaruna, they purchase. Ishtara is the root word which means to buy or sell or to trade, barter. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yashtaruna, they purchase. Ad-dalalata, dalala means straying or error. So ad-dalalata, the straying. Wa and yuriduna, they want. We know this is in the third person because it begins with ya and it ends in una, so it's plural. So wa yuriduna, and they want, or and they wish. An, that. Tadillu, this comes from the same word that comes after yashtaruna in this ayah, dolalata. So tadillu comes from dolala, okay? Dolal means straying. So ta in the beginning means you, and this is a verb in this case, and it ends in vowel alif, so we know it's plural. So tadillu, you all stray, as-sabil, the way. Wallahu, wa and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, a'lamu, most knowing. This comes from the word ilm, which means to have knowledge. And a'lam, alif in the beginning, adds more depth to it. It emphasizes it more. So a'lamu is most knowing. Be with or about. A'da'ikum, a'da means enemies. Gum, yours. Wa and kafa is sufficient. Billahi. B means definitely. Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waliyan. We've learned this word before, and that means a protector, a guardian, or a very close friend. So waliyan as a guardian, protector, or close friend. Wa and kafa. He is sufficient, billahi, definitely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nasiran, as a helper. This is also an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it comes from the word nasr, which means help. So nasira, a helper. Min, from. Alladhina, those who. Hadu, they became Jews. This is a verb and it's plural. It ends in vowel alif. So hadu, they became Jews. Yuharifuna, they distort. We know this word is in the third person because it begins with ya and ends in una, and it's plural because of the una. So yuharifuna, they distort or they change. They twist al-kalima, the words, an from mawadi'ihi. Mawadi'i means proper places. He, it's, meaning the words. Wa and yakuluna, they say sami'na, we heard. We know the nun alif in the end is the pronoun meaning we. So sami'na, we heard. Wa and asayna, we disobeyed. Asa means to disobey. And nun alif in the end means we again. Wasma' wa means and isma' means hear or listen. This is a command. Ghayra, not or other than. Musma'in, one hearing. Wa and ra'ina, listen to us. Ra'ina means listen, and then the nun alif in the end means us. So listen to us or pay attention to us. Layyan, as twisting. Bi al-sinatihim, be with al-sinati, the tugs. Him, theirs. So bi al-sinatihim, with the tongues of theirs. Wa and ta'anan, taunting. Fi in ad-deen, the divine religion. Or the divine way of life. Wa and lo, if annahum, anna indeed, hum, they, qalu, they said, sami'na, we heard. Again, this word comes from sami'a, which means to hear, and nun alif in the end is the pronoun meaning we. So sami'na, we heard. Wa and ata'na, we obeyed. Ata'a means to obey. Nun alif in the end means we. So ata'na, we obeyed. Wasma'a, and hear or listen. Wanzurna, wa means and unzur means to look at. Na means us. So wanzurna, and look at us. Lakana, la, short lam with a fata, it's not lam alif, or it would mean exactly the opposite. So please do not stretch this lam, keep it short. La, surely, kana, it was. Khairan, best. La, for hum, them. Wa and aqwama, most upright or most straight. Wa and lakin, but la'anahum. La'ana, he cursed whom? Them, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi kufrihim, be because of kufr, disbelief, him, theirs, fala, fa, so la, not, yu'minuna, they believe. This comes from the word iman, which means to believe. You in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. Excuse me. So you, in the beginning, tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, so they do not believe. إِلَّا, except قَلِيلًا, a few, or very little. يَا أَيُّهَا, we know that the word يَا or يَا أَيُّهَا at the beginning always means oh. So it's used to address people when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing people. Alladhina, those who, utu, they were given, al-kitaba, the book, aminu, you all believe. This comes from iman again, and this word is plural. It's addressing a bunch of people. We know because it ends in waw alif. And it is a command. So, aminu, you all believe. Bima, bi means in, ma, what? Nazalna, nazal means to gradually send down. Or to gradually reveal. Na means we. So, nazalna, we gradually sent down or revealed. Musaddiqan, one confirming. Lima, li, for, ma, what? Ma'akum, ma'a, with, kum, all of you. Min qabl, means from, before. An, that, natumisa. Nun in the beginning means we, so natumisa means we erase or we disfigure. Wujuhan. This is plural for the word wajh, which means face. So wujuhan, faces. Fa is the prefix that means then. Narudda, we turn. Nun means we, and then narudda means we turn. Ha, it, meaning the faces. Ala, upon. Adabariha, dubur means back. Adabar is plural for that. It means backs. Ha, its, or theirs, because it refers to faces. Aw, or nal'anahum. Nal'ana comes from the word la'ana, again, which means curse. Nun in the beginning means we. So nal'ana, we cursed. Hum, them, kama. Ka means like, or just ma, as. So for kama, you can say just as or just like. La'anna. La'anna and then nun alif. Okay, so la'anna, we cursed. Ashaba, companions. As-sabt, of the Sabbath, meaning the Saturday. Wa ant kana, was. Amru, command or order. Allahi, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maf'ula, one to be fulfilled or one to be executed. Fa'ala means to do, and maf'ula is something that has to be done. Okay, so vakana and is amrullahi, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maf'ula, one to be done, one to be executed. Inna allaha, inna, indeed allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la, does not. Yaghfiru, he forgives. This word comes from ghafara, which means to forgive. Ya in the beginning means he. So yaghfiru, he forgives. An, that. Yushraka, it is associated, partners. So shirk is the root word here, and that means to associate partners with Allah. So yushraka is associated partners. Be with he, him, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa and yaghfiru, he forgives. Ma, whatever. Duna, other than or besides. Dhalika, tha, liman, li, for. Man, whoever. Yasha'u, he wills. Wa and man, whoever. Yushrik, he does shirk, or he associates partners. Billahi, be with Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fa qad, fa, then, qad, in fact. Iftara, he fabricated. Ithman, a sin. Azima, one most great. Alam, did not. Tara, you see. Ila, towards. Alladhina, those who. Yuzakuna, they claim complete purity. Zakka means to purify, right? And you in the beginning means this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yuzakuna, they claim complete purity. Anfusahum, for themselves. Anfus means souls, and hum means theirs. So put together, anfusahum means themselves. Bal, rather. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuzakki, he purifies. This word comes from zakka again, which means to purify. You in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and it's a verb. So balillahu, rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuzakki, he fully purifies. Man, whoever. Yasha'u, he wills. Wa and la, not. Yudhlamuna, they are wronged. This word comes from dhulm, which means injustice, and it begins with ya, so we know it's in the third person, and it ends in una, so we know it's plural, so it means they. And the ya begins with a dhamma. This word begins with a dhamma, and before the una ending, we see a fatha on the lam, so we know this is passive. So yudhlamuna, they are wronged, or they are treated unjustly. Fatila, in the least bit. Okay, fatila is the word that's used for the hair or the thread on the date stone. There's a very thin thread on a date stone if you look at it closely, and it's very thin, very small. So that's the word used here, fatila. Even as small as the hair on the date stone, or you can say in the least bit. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll begin the tafsir of these ayat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Starting with ayah number 44 From here to ayah number 56 Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites the people of the book to Islam and he warns them sternly in these ayat We have covered all this in Surah Al-Baqarah before All the things that we're going to go over. So, inshallah, here we're just going to go over them quickly. Alam tara ila alladhina utu naseeban min alkitab. Have you not considered the case of those to whom a portion of the book was given? This means people who were given the Torah because they rejected the Bible. And the ones who were given the Bible because they rejected the Torah. Okay, so it addresses both of them, the Christians and the Jews. And it can also mean that they believed in some parts of the book and they disbelieved in the other parts. The parts that they found hard to implement, they just disbelieved in them. They acted like they didn't even exist. They read all of the book. Okay, they read all of it. But they only followed the parts that were easy for them. And before we studied, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ Do you believe in parts of the book and disbelieve other parts? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the parts they followed are the ones they actually received. As for the rest, they acted like they didn't even receive those parts, as if they did not even exist. They used to read the book, they used to learn it and understand it, but whatever they followed out of what they read was their actual share of the book. That was the only share they received. So it was as if they didn't even receive the whole book. يَشْتَرُونَ الضَّلَالَةَ They purchased error for themselves. They have knowledge of the book. They had knowledge of it, but they preferred to go astray. They chose not to receive guidance. And this happens nowadays too. People choose not to receive guidance. And they continue to be astray and continue to commit shirk. Even though the Quran had been sent and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent also to guide people. They preferred to follow the wrong path. They just wanted to keep going astray. وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن تَضِلُّ السَّبِيلِ And they wish to see you lose the right path. They don't want you to follow the book either. The people of the book cast their own book aside and they don't follow its rules. And they want Muslims to do the same. They don't want Muslims to follow their deen. And sadly, Muslims start following them blindly. The people of the book do not practice their religion properly, and they don't want Muslims to practice theirs either. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِأَعْدَائِكُمْ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your enemies well. Allah knows what they conceal in their hearts. And this ayah also tells us that we should not fear our enemies. And we shouldn't suspect people of plotting against us. We don't need to. Okay? We should leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He knows if they are actually our enemies. Okay, he knows what's in their hearts. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ نَصِيرًا. And sufficient is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you. And He is sufficient to help you. So we shouldn't waste our valuable time thinking about how others may be plotting against us. Because if we do that, we can't really use our time productively or do anything beneficial. So we should just remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our protector. He is our helper. Trust Him to handle all matters, like Musa alayhi salam did. Remember when he said, "Inna ma'iya Rabbi sayahdini." Indeed, my Lord is with me. He will guide me. And we learned also, "In yansurkum Allahu fala ghaliba lakum." If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you, then nobody can overpower you. So we should befriend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take Him as our helper by obeying Him. Many Muslims don't really bother to become friends with Allah. And then they complain that He doesn't help them. But why would He help them when they don't obey Him? And they're not even practicing. So we need to befriend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we want Him on our side. If we want His help to come. Next, we are told about the Jews, the people who were educated and they had knowledge of the book, but they just didn't take it seriously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Muslims not to do what they did. He wants the educated people from our ummah to learn deen properly and to try and understand the book. So what was it that the Jews did? مِنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمْ مَوَادِئِهِ. From among the Jews, there are some who take the words out of their context, and they utter them with a twist of their tongues to slander the true deen. They either change the words, or they change the meaning of the Torah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to preserve the Qur'an in its original form, alhamdulillah. So people cannot change the words of the Qur'an, but they do change the meanings according to whatever they want the ayat to mean. But this is not allowed. This is what the Jews used to do. وَيَقُولُونَ, and they say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَصَيْنَا, we heard and we disobey. They clearly said that they would do what they felt like doing, even after they had heard the truth and they understood it, no matter how clearly they were taught everything. وَاسْمَعْ غَيْرَ مُسْمَعٍ, and hear, may you hear nothing. They said this to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they were around him, or they thought this. And today there are Muslims out there who listen to the Qur'an and they read the Qur'an so many times. They study it, but they only do what they want. They don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were people like that around at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam too. And they were disrespectful to him by acting that way. They would say, listen and don't be heard. They were extremely rude, and they meant that they hoped nobody would listen to him. They would whisper, وَاسْمِعْ غَيْرَ مُسْمَعٍ. And they used to be all happy, thinking that he didn't find out about what they were saying, even though he was the messenger of Allah. So they thought they were tricking him. وَرَعِنَا لَيَّمْ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. And instead of رَعِنَا, they would say رَعِينَا, twisting their tongues, so as to mean our shepherd. They were so disrespectful to him. So they obviously could not learn any beneficial knowledge from him. Imam Ghazali said, knowledge is sought through humility and obedience. And they were not humble. And they didn't obey Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they obviously did not benefit from his knowledge. They were mocking him instead. وَطَعْنًا فِي الدِّينِ, and taunting in the religion. They would pick out faults in deen and say that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam couldn't even tell what they were saying. They used to mock him and make fun of the divine religion. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا سِمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, and if they had actually said, we heard and we obeyed, وَاسْمِعْ, and hear us, وَانْظُرْنَا, and look at us, meaning pay attention to us, if they had said this instead of رَعِينَا that they used to say when they distorted the word رَعِينَا, it would have been so much better for them. We already learned in Surah Al-Baqarah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Muslims not to even use the word Raina anymore. So the Jews couldn't distort that word to mock Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam anymore. So if they had said one dhurna instead, كَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَأَقْوَمْ, it would have been better for them and more proper. But they chose to be disrespectful instead of being attentive when he spoke and seeking beneficial knowledge from him. If they had valued that time they spent around Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would have attained knowledge and guidance. وَلَكِنْ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed them because of their disbelief. He removed them from his mercy. فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, so they have no faith with the exception of a few. And this is so true. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told that most of them would not believe. And a very few number, a small number of the Jews accepted Islam. And even today, very few of them accept Islam. They have knowledge. And they had it back then too, but they were just stubborn. So that knowledge did not actually benefit them or change them in any way. Ya ayyuha alladhina utul kitab, O people of the book, and that means the Jews and the Christians. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them both here, and he invites them to believe. And he warns them, Aminu, believe, bima nazzalna musaddiqan lima ma'akum, in what we have revealed, confirming what you have, meaning your own scriptures. So they are told to believe in the Quran, which was revealed by Allah. And it actually verifies their books as well, that their books were from Allah. They are ordered to believe in the Messenger of Allah and the Quran that was sent to him. Next, they are warned, مِنْ قَبْلِ, before, أَنْ نَطْمِسَ وُجُوهًا, we obliterate your faces. And the faces include ears and eyes that people normally use to hear and see things. And listening to things and seeing things is what leads to people obtaining guidance. So if their ears and eyes are blotted out or destroyed, there's no way for them to obtain guidance. So they are told to believe before their faces are destroyed. Or, فَنَرُدَّهَا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِهَا, we turn them backward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns them that they should accept Islam. Okay, they shouldn't turn away. They should accept Islam before their faces are erased, or their faces are put on the backs of their heads, and the backs of their heads become their faces. They turn away from Allah, but they should be afraid that this is what can happen if they keep turning away. أَوْ نَلْعَنَهُمْ كَمَا لَعَنَّا أَصْحَابَ السَّبْتِ, or we lay our curse on you as we laid our curse on the Sabbath breakers. Remember we learned about أصحاب السَّبْتِ in detail in Surah Al-Baqarah, about how they started fishing on Saturday when they were told not to fish just that one day. That was meant to be their day off, that they had to just worship Allah. But they started fishing even on that day. And as a punishment, they were turned into monkeys. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns these people that the same thing can happen to them. And then He would not be merciful towards them. Astaghfirullah. When Qab Ahbar heard this ayah, he accepted Islam. He was a great Jewish scholar who accepted Islam at the time when Umar radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa. Qab lived in Yemen and he was traveling to go to Baytul Maqdis. When he passed Medina on the way, Umar radiallahu anhu, the leader of the believers, invited him to Islam. But Qab refused and he said, "Haven't you read in the Quran in Surah Jumu'ah that that the Jews are compared to donkeys who were not able to hold the weight of the Torah that they were given?" So the Jews are compared to donkeys who just carry the heavy books without even knowing what they say. They don't understand them. If I turn away and leave the Torah after seeking knowledge of it, I would be like that donkey too. So I can't accept Islam. This is what Qab said to Umar radiallahu anhu. So Umar left quietly after hearing his reply. But when that great Jewish scholar continued his journey, he got to a place where he heard a man reciting the Quran really beautifully. When the reciter got to this part, the ayah that says to believe before Allah obliterates your faces or turns them backwards or curses you like he did with the Ashab as-Sabt, he became so emotional and he called out right away, "My Lord, I have believed, I have accepted." Because he didn't want to be punished in the same way as the Ashab as-Sabt, like this ayah warns of. So he accepted Islam, subhanAllah. Of course, it's only when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the best for someone that He makes that person hear something that actually changes their heart. Okay, that changes them for the better and they accept. After that, when the great Jewish scholar went back to Yemen, he brought his family to Medina and they all accepted Islam. There are many narrations about him. Again, his name was Qab Ahbar, which comes from Hibr. Hibr means that he was very knowledgeable. Okay? Inna Allah la yaghfiru. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive. So we should really focus on this la before yaghfiru, that He does not forgive. Because it's very important for us to know this and understand this well. That He will not forgive the people He describes next. Because normally, whenever we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that He is oft forgiving and He is all merciful. And we hope to be forgiven, right? But what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here? That He says that He will not forgive. Who is He so upset with that He will not forgive? What is it that person does to upset Him so much? أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ, that partners are associated with Him. So if anyone does shirk, Allah will not forgive that person. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, and He may forgive sins other than that if He so pleases. So if He chooses to forgive someone for their sins, nobody can question Him about it and ask why. So He can forgive whoever He wants for their sins. But He tells us here clearly that He will not forgive shirk, because that's a grave sin. So we should understand what shirk really is, because we have to avoid it. Imagine Allah not forgiving someone when He is all merciful. And He has said that even if someone brought sins as great as the mountains, and they pile up and they reach the skies, He will still forgive that person. if that person seeks forgiveness. But the same hadith says that he would forgive that person only if he or she had not done shirk or associated partners with Allah. Only in that case will that person be forgiven. That tells us that shirk is the greatest sin of all. And that's the shirk is actually the exact opposite of tawheed, which means to believe in one Allah alone. And there are three types of tawheed, three ways that we follow tawheed. So the first is tawheed in taking only Allah as our Rabb, believing that He is alone and He is the only creator, the owner, the sustainer, and the master of all of us, okay, of everything. So He is the only Rabb, okay? And the second way we believe in Tawheed is in the attributes and characteristics of Allah. Okay, so it means to know that Allah is the only one who makes everything happen. Only He controls everything that happens. Nobody else. And then the third type is in ibadah. Okay? So there has to be tawheed in ibadah, meaning to worship Allah alone. People are sometimes confused about this. Okay? And they think that people who do shirk in this way are the ones who just don't believe in Allah. Okay? So when they hear about shirk, that people do shirk when they associate partners with Allah when it comes to ibadah, they think it means that that person just doesn't believe in Allah. However, the Quran tells us something else. The Quran says when they're asked about who created the skies and the earth, they say Allah did. They know that Allah is the one who created the skies and the earth. So how were they polytheists, the mushrikeen of Makkah, how were they polytheists when they admitted that Allah created the skies and the earth? And we read in the Quran also that when they travel on ships and they're caught in storms, they call out to Allah alone at that time. Okay, they don't call out to any other god. So it's not like they didn't know about Allah being the master. They knew. They used to perform Hajj. Okay, they knew that they were visiting the house of Allah when they went for Hajj. And they would even say, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. So what was it they did wrong? And why was Islam sent to guide them? What were they doing wrong? They did believe that Allah was the creator and the owner of everything, that everything belongs to Him. They didn't have a problem understanding that. But their issue was that they thought others were also worthy of worship. Okay? They thought that others can be worshipped as well as Allah. Astaghfirullah. They used to think that pious people from before who have passed away, saints or angels, could also be worshipped. But ibadah actually means to obey with humility, to sincerely lower oneself before Allah in worship, to obey His commands, and to do this out of love, not because we're forced to. Many people think they worship Allah when they actually disobey His commands. But ibadah really means to obey His orders, to listen to them. How can we prove that we worship Him? What are we supposed to do? Well, we are supposed to call out to Him for all our needs. Only Him. Nobody else. Call out to Him. And when we prostrate before Him, when we do sajda, when we pray salah, when we offer sacrifices, and we trust Him and rely on Him, through these actions, we show that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the polytheists of Mecca, they used to call out to others for their needs too, and they prostrated before others. That is how they did shirk. They had idols that they called out to. And that's what happens nowadays too. Polytheists believe that there is one greater one. Okay, they believe that there's one greater God who is exalted above all. They know that God is the greatest. But their problem is that they don't accept the fact that nobody else is worthy of worship. Nothing else. They claim that there are smaller gods too. Astaghfirullah. The mushriks did shirk in obedience to Allah, in the attributes of Allah, and in worship of Allah. So in all three ways, all three forms, they did not believe in Tawheed. They didn't follow the rules of Tawheed. But Islam tells us that nobody else is worthy of being worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they worship those who don't benefit them or harm them in any way. How do they do that? They claim that they want to please them. Okay, those smaller gods that they believe in, they say that they want to please them. So those so-called gods of theirs, astaghfirullah, so they can intercede for them before Allah. And they claim that those others draw them closer to Allah. And they didn't think they were doing anything wrong, since they thought they were worshipping those others just to get closer to Allah. So they did shirk in obedience to Allah's rules, in His worship, and in their invocations. They did believe in Allah, but they also believed in others. Sadly, the Muslim Ummah is caught up in this kind of shirk in many parts of the world today. They have even taken the graves of the pious people who passed away as sacred places. They invoke those people who are dead for their needs. And they even prostrate before their graves, astaghfirullah. But that is shirk, and it's forbidden. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never called out to one of the former prophets, not even Ibrahim alayhi salam, nor did he ever request them to intercede for him or his ummah before Allah. He never called out to the previous prophets. The Sahaba of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not call out to him either at any time. They didn't say, Ya Rasulullah, come help us. They knew that they had to call out to Allah alone. Okay, He could only help them if He was right in front of them. Even when 70 of his Sahaba, 70 of his companions, his beloved companions were deceived and murdered, they called out to Allah and asked Allah to let Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam know what condition they were in. They didn't call out to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly to try to tell him they were being martyred, because they knew that they were supposed to invoke Allah alone. People do shirk in many ways today. Some call Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they visit his grave, and they make dua when they stand there, even though the Sahaba never did that. According to a Bukhari hadith, Umar radiallahu anhu took Abbas radiallahu anhu with him to make dua when it had not rained. He said, O Allah, when your messenger, meaning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was alive, we used to make him a means of intercession for us, meaning that we used to take him and ask him to make dua for rain for us. So Umar said, he is not among us anymore, O Allah, so we have brought his uncle. So they didn't just go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grave to call out to him to make dua to Allah for rain. And they didn't do that because it was not allowed. Once there was a man who visited Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, whatever Allah wants, like when we say insha Allah, whatever Allah wills, right? So he said, whatever Allah wants and whatever his Rasul wants. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very upset when he heard that, and he said, do you associate me with Allah? Only say what Allah wills. Masha Allah. Okay? And so that's how we didn't argue that, oh, that's not what I had meant, or I had not intended to associate you with Allah, and that he actually meant whatever Allah wills. But he listened right away because he understood how important it was. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, when you ask for help, only ask Allah for help. He advised him, even though the Sahaba knew already, they never called out to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for help, saying, help Ya Rasulullah, when he wasn't there. Okay, they called to Allah for help. Muslims today call out to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Ali radiallahu anhu sometimes, or they call out to the saints for help. Astaghfirullah. How can we ask so many others for help when we say to Allah during each and every salah, we say, Iyyaka nasta'een, only you we ask for help. We say that so many times every day in salah. Iyyaka na'budu, only you we worship. Wa iyyaka nasta'een, and only you, you alone we ask for help. So aren't we lying if we're calling out to others for help? Do we really ask him for help alone? If someone is alive and we need their help, we can ask them for help. Okay? There's nothing wrong with getting help from anyone. But calling out to others for help when they're not even there is shirk. Okay? Calling dead people and saying that they're going to help us somehow is not allowed, or calling out to people who are not even around. Isa alayhi salam asked his disciples, Man ansari ila Allah? Remember? He said, who will help me in the way of Allah? So he did ask for help. Okay, it's allowed. But he only asked people who were living and around to help him. He didn't ask people who weren't even around, or people from the ghaib, the unseen that we don't know about. All the prophets knew about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they knew what his name would be. They knew that he would be the last messenger and everything about him, a lot of things about him. But they didn't call him from the ghaib for help. Right? They didn't use his name to seek help from Allah. But some Muslims today actually claim that Adam alayhi salam was forgiven because he looked up and saw the name Muhammad written there, and then he asked Allah for help using Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name. But that is just a fabricated hadith. It's not true. It's not authentic. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam only taught us tawheed. Okay? He only connected us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never told us to call out to him or to go to his grave to ask for things. He actually said, there's nothing beneficial that I have not told you about. So he wouldn't have kept anything beneficial from us. He conveyed the complete message to us fully. And he told us all about deen. He didn't hide anything from us. And he never instructed us to go to his grave and ask for things. He told us to read durood in the beginning and the end of dua, when we make dua, so it will be answered. Okay, that's what we're taught to do. In Surah An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people who accepted Islam and did not mix up their iman with shirk are the guided ones. That means that people who commit shirk even after Islam are not guided. And that means that it does happen, that there are people who commit shirk even after they accept Islam. They mix it up, but that is dhulm. It's injustice. It's wrong. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua for protection against shirk, because it is the greatest sin of all. So if we even suspect that something involves shirk, it's best to stay away from it. Only tawheed will be accepted by Allah. And when we only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, that's the only way that we can hope for forgiveness. We cannot mix up shirk with our iman, because it would not be accepted in that case. So we should be very careful to avoid shirk, and we should be afraid of getting caught up in it. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will not forgive shirk, it doesn't mean that He won't forgive someone if they committed shirk once. Okay, it actually means someone who did shirk and died in that condition, that person will never be forgiven. However, as for someone who is still alive, and that person realizes that they committed shirk sometime before, and they repent, they should be grateful for being guided. Okay, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a chance. And since they understand now that they did commit shirk, they should repent right away. And that person should seek forgiveness. وَيَغْفِرُوا مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive sins other than that. لِمَنْ يَشَاء. For whoever He pleases. It's really important to remember this part. لِمَنْ يَشَاء. That He will only forgive other sins besides shirk that He wants to. So we can't assume that He will just forgive all the other sins we commit besides shirk. Because a lot of people misunderstand and they say that, oh, Allah is going to forgive everything else as long as we don't do shirk. Okay, we can't say that. There's no guarantee of that. He says that He will only forgive other sins besides shirk for whom He pleases, when He wants to. So nobody should take other sins lightly. And we learn from so many parts of the Quran that people are forgiven when they seek repentance, right? When they seek forgiveness. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. And whoever commits shirk with Allah has indeed invented a great sinful lie. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent down any proof of shirk. There's no proof that anyone else can be associated as partners with Allah in any way. So shirk is baseless. Anyone who commits shirk should know that they have fabricated the greatest lie and they have committed the greatest sin of all. Next, we are going to learn about another group of people. And we know that the previous ayah was about the Jews and the Christians in particular, but it goes for everyone. It applies to everyone. We know that the Jews did commit shirk when they claimed that Uzair al-Islam was the son of Allah. But remember that only a sect of the Jews did that. So it wasn't all the Jews who committed that type of shirk. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about them that they committed shirk? Because they didn't listen to Allah. They didn't do His ibadah. Okay, they didn't just worship Him. Ibadah actually means humble obedience. They didn't obey Him. So they just claimed to worship Him when they actually didn't. When people say that Allah is their ilah, they mean that Allah is worthy of worship. So, He is worthy of obedience. He deserves to be obeyed in every way. We can't say that He deserves to be worshipped and then present excuses when it comes to obeying Him, just because we think some of His orders are difficult for us. If we just choose to follow our own desires, we aren't actually doing His ibadah. It's not enough to just say that we worship Him. We must obey Him to prove that we do worship him alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the Jews to not do shirk, even though they weren't all involved in it. Not all of them did shirk. Only one sect of them believed that Uzair al-Islam was the son of God. Na'udhu billah. But he warns them because they did what they wanted. Okay, whatever they felt like doing instead of obeying him. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Have you not seen those who speak very highly of their own purity, even though they are committing shirk? This is how the Jews were. They believed that they were better than everyone else. Till this day, people cannot convert to Judaism because the Jews believe that people can only be born Jewish. Okay, they believe that they are better somehow, that they are superior. It's not like Islam, where people can accept Islam. And it doesn't matter if they were born to Muslim families or not, as long as they accept Islam. People are free to do that. But the Jews used to claim that they were pure, that they are free of sins, just like their babies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like it when people claim to be pure. He says, بَلِلَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Rather, Allah purifies whom He wishes. How could they claim complete purity? How can they claim that they are free of sin, that they are completely pure? فَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. And they're not wronged in the least. If anyone has done anything good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not at all be unjust towards that person. If the polytheists are not purified, no injustice, even equal to the threat of a date stone, is being done to them. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, even if it's something as insignificant as the threat on the date stone. There's no need for anyone to tell others about their good deeds. Allah knows everything, even if it's the smallest good that somebody does. There's no need to claim purity. He knows what people do, and He will reward everyone for their good deeds. So we should avoid talking about our good deeds or doing things to show others that we're so good somehow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Najm, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. So do not claim to be pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows if we are conscious of Him or not. He knows our level of taqwa. There's no need for us to talk about it with others, okay? And claim to be so pious. We should try to do whatever good we can exclusively for His approval, for His pleasure. So it doesn't make sense to try to impress others. And it's not good to sit there speaking highly about our ancestors or our children, our families, or our own selves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what our ancestors were like. And He knows what our kids are like. Okay, He knows everything. So what's the point of telling others? Why do we need to tell others? Some people even say things just to show others that they're wealthy, as if to impress others by it. But what difference does it make to anyone else? And even if someone is pious, how does it benefit someone else if they sit there talking about it? Why would anyone care to hear about another person's good actions? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't approve of anyone who shows off like that and anyone who claims to be pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve of it. He says that He is the one who purifies whom He chooses to. Because nobody has the ability to be good on their own. It's Allah who honors people when He grants them the ability to do anything good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nisa later on, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are many messengers whom we have told you about, and then there are so many that we haven't mentioned. Subhanallah. Imagine that. They were great messengers of Allah who we don't even know the names of. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us their names in the Quran. They were not regular people like us. They were the best of people. They were the messengers of Allah. But nobody even knows their names. And they don't know anything about them. Like when they were sent and what good they did, or about how they endured with patience and what their people did to mistreat them. We don't know anything about those messengers. But subhanallah, their rewards are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only know about 25 messengers from the Quran. But there were so many. 125,000. So many are not even mentioned. Okay, we don't even know their names. Though they served Allah and humanity in the best way. And if we think about people like us, who do nothing in comparison, are we even worthy of being mentioned anywhere? So how can we sit there talking about our good deeds as if we deserve to be honored in some way? Astaghfirullah. They were the honorable messengers of Allah, and we don't even know their names. How can we talk so much when we do nothing, and we are nothing in comparison to them? We're not capable of doing anything great anyway. So is there any reason for any of us to think we're so great or speak so highly of ourselves? Not at all. It's only good if someone says something good about someone behind their back. Okay? So if you want to praise someone, we should do it behind their back, not to their face. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked him and people praised others to their face. We learn from a Bukhari and Muslim hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard one man saying good things about another to his face. So Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Woe be to you, you have cut the neck of your companion." Then he said, "If any of you is to definitely praise his brother, then let him say, 'I deem such and such to be like that, and I do not praise anyone above Allah.' Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his reckoner, if he believes that he is like that." Praising someone to their face is not good because that person's ego will become so big that he starts thinking that he's so important or that he's better than others. He's superior somehow. That person then wants to be admired by others and wants other people's attention. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba to fill the mouths of those who praise with dirt so they don't inflate other people's ego. Meaning an inflated sense of their own worth and their abilities, thinking they're just all that. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, when someone says that they are a true believer, when someone claims to be a true believer, they're actually a disbeliever. When someone says that they are a scholar, that person's actually ignorant. And when someone says that they're going to end up in Jannah, that person will end up in Jahannam. This means that anyone who thinks so highly of themselves is headed for destruction. It's never good to speak highly of one's own self or to seek praises from others. Some people actually think it's good if they talk about the good things they do. Okay, because they think they're just good at everything. They're so confident that they're all-rounders. But that's a very dangerous way of thinking. Praising someone to their face because that person needs something from the other person is also really bad. Okay, so that's basically like kissing up to somebody. Okay, just because we need something from them, we start saying all these good things about them. That's not good, and it upsets Allah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be praised. Allah is the one who purifies whom He wants and He is the one who makes people righteous. People do not have the right to show off about their good deeds. And he reminds us that if there is anything good that anyone does, he knows it. Luqman, alayhis salam, told his son, even if there's a deed equal to the size of an atom hidden in a cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will present it on the Day of Judgment. So why do people start acting like Allah will forget about the good things they do? Na'udhu billah. He will not overlook anything. Everyone will be rewarded for whatever good they did. Nobody will be deprived of their reward. So there's no need to tell others the good things anyone does. When we speak highly of ourselves and show off in front of others, it's actually because we are arrogant. Because we think that we're so great due to some reason or the other. Either that person thinks that he is really good, or that he belongs to a great family, or he's proud of his wealth, or whatever. So they start believing that they're really great, and that's the only reason they start acting proud or boasting. Otherwise, we wouldn't say such things. So we should be especially careful when we speak and judge ourselves honestly. If we speak highly of ourselves, it means that we are arrogant and we have to reform ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all the things we have ever said or done out of pride. And may He enable us to be humble and remember that we are failures unless He grants us the ability to do things exclusively for His approval. Ameen. We don't even know if anything out of the things we have done is going to be there in our record on the Day of Judgment. Because there's a great chance of it all being wasted if we do it for the wrong reasons. Or we do it with the wrong intentions. Or if we do something wrong after doing anything good, like showing off. What's the point of showing off when we don't even know if Allah values what we've done or not? And we don't know if that good deed is still in our records. How can we even talk about it? And how can we expect to be rewarded for it if it's already been deleted or discarded due to our intentions and actions? So we have to be really careful to try to save anything good we've done. Do it exclusively for Allah. And hope that He will forgive us for all the shortcomings. And He will accept it. This is why we should be afraid to say anything good about ourselves. And we should avoid doing things to be known by others. We should learn from the examples of our predecessors. They tried to hide their good deeds. Even the greatest good deeds they did, they tried to hide them because they did actually do them just to please Allah. And they only expected the reward from Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to understand and follow what we have learned. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.